You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Steeter.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated...
It is Tuesday, September 15th, 2015. My name is Matt Binder.
I'm Michael Brooks.
And this is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting to you live, steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal.
In the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA, on today's program, an abbreviated Matt and Mike Tuesday. But with many stories, including Bill Maher talking about Syrian refugees, the right's ongoing crack up because of Donald Trump, Russia escalating in Syria, and what else do we have, Matt?
We have tons more that you'll just have to listen to see. That's all I'm saying.
And since we're doing a no guest program, you can join us
now. 646-257-3920. That's 646-257-3920. We'll start taking calls immediately. So if you've always been hoping to call into the Majority Report, but by the time you call in, you're already last on the line and there's no time to get to you, quick, get to that phone. Now is your moment.
Load up the IMs in just a second as well. But first, I got to tell you about something really important, and that is, as we all know, we are well into the regular NFL season. And as I say, if you either enjoy watching the Pats destroy everybody else, or you enjoy whining about how it's not fair because the Pats, you always cheat, and wah, wah, wah. But either way, you're probably watching football. And particularly if you're not a Pats fan, you may have an active fantasy life where the Pats are not winning all the time. And that's why you should be taking this hobby, your passion for NFL, and go to FanDuel.com right now to join America's premier fantasy football website. FanDuel is a trusted leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and more payouts than any other site. They're paying over $75 million a week this football season. That's like banker bonus money. Building a team is easy. Just pick your players, stay under the salary cap, and sit back on Sunday and watch your team win. Entry fees start at just $1. Anybody can play. Last year, Joe Watson from New York turned a $50 deposit into over $30,000 in 2 weeks playing fantasy football on FanDuel.com. And as I say, he was also able to get his girlfriend off of his back. He's playing computer games all the time, and all of a sudden he's making real money doing it. Join him and over a million other users who've already won money. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code MAJOR to sign up now. They have a special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match you with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. That's real money. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code MAJOR today. So don't forget to use the code MAJOR. That's FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Use my code MAJOR to get yourself started. All right. Let's I actually think we already have one phone call. So let me get to the phones right out of the gate here, and I will fire up the IMs, which I have not done yet, but I will do in just 1 second. You're calling from a 719 area code. Who are you? Where are you calling from? And what do you have in mind?
Hello?
Yeah. You're on the air.
Yeah, it's very good to speak with you guys. I just wanted to say first that I really enjoy the show, and I think you guys both do a really good job, especially when Sam's not around.
Especially when Sam's not around.
And
I agree. Thank you.
Matt on becoming a dad. Really exciting.
Sorry? Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying congratulations to Matt, your dad. It's really exciting.
Oh, I thank you. It is very exciting. It's a lot of fun.
So what I wanted to talk about initially is the historical Jesus. You had said, Michael, when you were doing your Bernie Sanders yesterday,
yes.
You were kind of joking around and said that, you know, Jesus is a good man, but he said nothing new or something.
That's
that
an
effect.
Old Borscht Belt joke, yeah.
And I kind of wanted to talk about that as a non-believer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm assuming you guys are non-believers too, even though, you know, the whole Jewish thing. But I think that's a pretty common counter-apologetic to the historical Jesus. But the first part isn't true, and the second part is absolutely true. So let me clarify. So Jesus wasn't a historical person. That's almost certain. But you can't, like, go back and look around and make sure that he wasn't there. So because it's a historical thing, you can only be so sure about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But the second part, that he said nothing new, is absolutely true, and that kind of goes to the first part. The reason he said nothing new is because his followers, people, Christians, early Christians, took things that other people had said, great rabbis, simple teachers from all around, you know, the Eastern Mediterranean, and they ascribed these great sayings to the greatest man they knew, which was Jesus, and only later did he get historicized because that was kind of an apostolic trump card, because
mm-hmm.
maybe you had authority coming directly from the man.
So, yeah, this is fascinating, but do you have what's the sort of core takeaway you're trying to get to?
What?
You know, I'm so you're saying that basically, like, that, yeah, that's a pretty common argument, I guess, that basically Christianity, early Christianity, is a form of Judaism. Is that what you're saying, essentially?
Oh, it absolutely
mm-hmm.
was. And initially,
okay.
like, it wasn't a separate thing. It was just a sect of Judaism, where they believed that, you know, it was a more Hellenized, so, like, there was a lot of influence from Greek culture, and so syncretism,
mm-hmm.
when you would mix Greek religion with a more ancient Eastern religion. And this had happened with every other Eastern religion. It was just kind of Judaism that was the holdout because of the monotheism and all that. But there were Jews early on who believed that you couldn't directly interact with God. God was too great, too far away. And so you needed some kind of intermediary to interact with God.
Yeah, you know, we got to jump in a second. We got to jump in a second, but that's and actually it reminds me a lot of Reza Aslan's book, Zealot. That's kind of his argument, that really Jesus is best understood as a rabbi, basically. And that's the only that's the best way to understand who he was, and that the sort of Jesus that we commonly understand him to be is almost like a rebranding by St. Paul. It's really interesting. But I appreciate the call.
Yeah, I just would say really quickly that Paul didn't know a historical Jesus.
Oh, I lost him, actually. Sorry about that. All right, let me take one.
Did you hang up on him?
I actually did not hang up on him, but it sounded really that sounded like I did. I'm sorry about that.
Maybe you have to call back into the phone system then if we're having problems.
No. It looks like everything's normal when I refreshed it. Let me take one more call, and then we should get to a story. All right. You're calling from a 502 area code. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Brian. I'm calling from Jeffersonville, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you guys. Hey, Matt.
Good.
Great to talk to you,
good
too.
To
what's up?
Good to talk to you.
Hey, I grew up in the Louisville, Kentucky area. I'm just north of that right now, but spent most of my time in the Louisville, Kentucky area.
Mm-hmm.
And calling about Ken Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually put a tweet to you a little bit earlier about this, but it just kind of stuns me how people who claim that they're being persecuted for their religious freedoms don't really realize that if we accommodated every single religious freedom, how much Christians would be, would suffer.
Right.
That sort of freedom.
So what – I agree with you. What out of curiosity, before we lose you, what what's – do you have a read on what the old – like what the – what's the situation like on the ground there, so to speak? Like, is there more support for her locally than nationally? There's kind of a media circus there. What's people's perception about it closer to the situation?
Well, I think it's pretty much mixed,
mm-hmm.
especially from the metro Louisville area. You got your good mix of – I mean, it's a Bible Belt area, you know.
Right.
So you got your good mix of people who kind of, let people live and let live, and those who are pretty hardcore, you know. So it's – A lot of people spent most of my time in the church growing up. And so what you're taught in church growing up is that less and less people are following the life that God wants them to live, and so you need to be fearful of that. And I think that's what a lot of these really religious people who feel like they're being persecuted because other people are being allowed to have the freedom,
because other people are getting their rights. Yeah, no, that seems to be exactly what's happening. I appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Let's get to one story here so far. Let's get to this piece of sound. So Bill Maher on last week on Real Time on HBO, and I will always kind of say this before you do a Bill Maher segment. I'm a Bill Maher fan in a lot of ways. I think he's pretty funny. Tend to agree with him when he talks about Republicans or income inequality. But we've had this endless Sam Harris debate that hopefully I'm not reopening. Well, it is going to get reopened because Matt feels left out of the action and he also wants to have a conflict with these people. But regardless of that, one of the points that we've always tried to make is that there are real consequences to these sort of, sophomore philosophy conversations, these sort of, kind of crude intro to religion 101 analysis of Islam, and that it affects cultural beliefs here, it affects policy, and it affects attitudes. Now, we know that right now there's a refugee crisis emanating from Syria, which according to a lot of people is unparalleled since World War II. I mean, this is a massive crisis that is overwhelming Europe. It's seeing spikes of xenophobia in places like Hungary. I think a lot of people saw that really disturbing footage of the video camera woman tripping a Syrian parent as they ran with their child in their arms. She stepped out of her way to trip him. And we've seen the rise of all sorts of those fascist voices in Europe that speak honestly about Islam, according to Sam Harris, are speaking really honestly when it comes to this horrific crisis. Now, Bill Maher talked about it, and I want to be fair to him. We're going to play the full clip. He's not disputing that nothing needs to be done here, and he is moved by this humanitarian catastrophe. But look at how he frames this question, and this will help illustrate the dangers of these crude understandings of that part of the world. So let's listen to what Bill Maher had to say on Real Time last week on HBO.
This picture was all around the world, and I think everybody in the Western world saw it.
Pause.
It's heartbreaking. And
that, as everybody knows, he's talking about that really just heartbreaking picture of the small Syrian boy who's dead, washed up on the beach from drowning, who's getting carried to shore by a Turkish policeman. It's an iconic photo That's what he's referencing. Go ahead.
I think everyone, probably even on the right, agrees that we have to do something for the immediate to help these poor people who are so desperate. The knottier question that I noticed the rest of the media avoids is, what about the long term? I mean, I so understand why moderate Muslims are fleeing their homelands, but the answer can't really be that we empty out the Middle East of all the moderates and leave it to ISIS and the extremists. If they just come to moderate, tolerant Europe to someday make it less moderate and tolerant, that isn't the answer, right?
All right. So first of all, there's a contradiction in the very premise of the question right there, because he's saying all of the people that are fleeing the region are, quote, moderate Muslims, which is delusional. I mean, everybody's fleeing the region. And also a lot of people are fleeing the region like Yazidis, who are not Muslims and are the prime targets of ISIS. Kurds are fleeing the region. Alawites are fleeing. Shias, Sunnis, everybody. The reason they're fleeing is because it's a massive, multi-pronged civil war and proxy war in which it's completely unsafe to be a human being of any religious or ethnic persuasion. So people are loading themselves on boats, loading themselves on trucks, escaping borders, paying human smugglers, risking their lives and their families' lives, going through every type of modern horror imaginable to go to a Europe that is not necessarily welcoming, that does not have a policy apparatus to deal with them. Very few are coming to the United States, obviously, and we've played a role in this crisis. No one's going into the Gulf countries. They've played a huge role in this crisis. Iran's not doing anything for these people, and they've played a significant role in this crisis, and certainly Russia isn't either. So the notion that this is just moderate Muslims fleeing is delusional. You have a multi-pronged war. You have Kurds fighting. You have ISIS fighting. You have remnants of the so-called Free Syrian Army, which incorporate many different factions fighting. And then you have the backers of Assad, which apparently, according to some people, are quote-unquote moderate Muslims. But you can just see how that's such a stupid way of framing what's happening there. That the notion that people are saying, like, I'm not leaving because bombs and artillery are exploding in every direction and my kid's school got blown up and my relatives are dead and there's no food supply. I'm leaving because I'm just a moderate Muslim and I got to get out of here because ISIS is around. It's silly. And then secondly, if these are moderate Muslims leaving, why does that threaten tolerant Europe if the moderate Muslims are the ones that are coming to Europe to begin with? Now, I'm sure that the response would be that even moderate Muslims are a threat because any type of Islam is a threat. And I get that. That's really the fundamental position of these people. And this is why I have a problem with it. Not because I'm, you know, I love the Quran or blah, 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 I'm a religious apologist, or all of the other kind of lazy arguments that get thrown at you, but because I'm concerned about a situation like this. We've helped cause a massive catastrophe, and now we're not doing anything or barely lifting a finger to deal with the fallout of it. And we can sit in cozy TV studios and talk about Muslim moderates or some other nonsense that has nothing to do with explaining the demographics of a refugee crisis that rivals the humanitarian toll of the fallout of World War II. It's disgusting. And people need to grow up and actually understand these issues and not go to their same can full of gurus, because, again, there are big stakes here. It's just ridiculous. Bill Maher should stick to making fun of Republicans and ganja jokes and broad statements about religion. But when he gets to the specifics of these things, it's ridiculous. All right, let's take one more call. You're calling from a 773 area code. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Blaine from Chicago.
Hey, Blaine, how you doing?
I couldn't really hear too well, but this is an aside. I'm thinking that it's pretty much a historical fact that all of the contemporary references to Jesus at the time proves that he's actually a historical figure.
Proves that he is a historical figure. I don't think the caller was saying he wasn't a historical figure. I think he was. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Anyway, the reason I called in is last night I tried to watch Chris Hayes' show on MSNBC. I was very disappointed they were running more Donald Trump campaign rallies.
Mm-hmm.
While I was watching it, I wondered why we don't see them ostensibly supposed to be the liberal channel, or at least the most liberal commentary you can get on television at night. Well, we don't see Bernie Sanders' campaign rally pre-ending show, but watched it for a half hour, and I came upon a realization. I know that Sam thinks that Trump is going to drop out of the race before he could win the nomination. And mm-hmm. I thought he was right up until last night. I'm predicting a flame out, actually. I think his stick is already, the crowd seemed bored. He wasn't getting the pops that he'd been getting before.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was being kind of repetitious for him just to brag about how great he was and how, that something great he's going to do so fast before your head spins.
You thought the crowd was getting bored listening to the same thing again and again and again about how great he is?
Yeah, I think he's at like his 14-minute mark, really. I didn't realize that till last night. I think that's the case. I'm thinking he's going to flame out before he can even drop out.
That's interesting. I mean, it's possible. I wouldn't exclude it. But every time everybody's predicted that happening, it hasn't happened so far. I mean, he's been incredibly resilient.
That's true. But,
so I think, you know.
But this is the first time I saw him perform, basically, in human team dynamic at all.
You felt like his audience was looking bored, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I got it. All right. I think that's interesting. I think I actually did see a second of what you're talking about. I did kind of notice what you're talking about, Blaine. It did seem like he was dropping some lines that people were sort of like, all right, man, like we get it. These are the greatest hits, but what else you got? But I think that there was a very large amount of people that support him that, that are pretty enrolled in the sort of, you know, the Don Rickles act. And I think it will keep taking it pretty far.
That's very true. But you know what? He's got to keep it going until November of next year.
We don't know. I mean, I think, again, especially if Sam's right about it, he doesn't necessarily need to keep. I mean, he just needs, especially if the plan is to drop out and be a kingmaker, he just needs to maintain his leverage. And frankly, he already has enough leverage. I mean, he already has upended the whole primary. Even if he spectacularly flamed out, which I don't think he will.
I got to say, I'm disagreeing with everybody here. Matt's
a huge Trump fan.
I was also in disagreement. I was also in agreement with Sam that he eventually would bow out on his own, stating that he doesn't want to really do it or something came up, and he would be the kingmaker, yes. But the more I watch the rest of the pool of the clown car, and the more I see people dropping in terms of, I mean, Rick Perry dropped out, but I mean their ratings dropping, their support dropping. I think Trump might go the whole way.
You think Trump's, and you think he would actually want to go the whole way?
I think he just might do it. I think do.
When does he drop out? I mean, who's sick or something.
Look who's rising though too right now with him,
Ben Carson. Yes,
I mean. There's no reason for Trump to drop out anytime soon at the very least.
Menstrual cycles control the stock
market. Who is he going to hand it to? Ted Cruz, so his pick can lose to Ben Carson? Like, it's not going to make any sense for him to drop out when he's the one who's winning. It would look much better for him to get the nomination and lose than for him to pick somebody who doesn't even get the nomination.
I'm not even going to pretend that I have a clear prediction on this. I still think the scenario is he dropped. I think Sam's right. I think he drops out at some point when he has a lot of leverage. But because I don't think if you're him, you actually want to be president. I think that's the main point.
I think he's having too much fun with this, man.
Oh, he's having fun humiliating everybody and crushing it.
He thinks he'll do that for the next 4 years, too.
You know what? If he starts to think that becoming president is just going to be winning for 4 years,
that's really
him,
though.
Then maybe he'll be into it.
That's really him, though.
All right, it's possible. Let me read a few IMs. Blaine, thanks so much for the call.
Because he'll always spin. He'll always spin it to make himself look good. So there really will always be winning because Trump is able to all be, oh, that's what I planned all. Oh, we'll just have them do this. And if they don't, I'll make them.
Let me read a few more IMs, then I'll do one quick story. Callers, hold on. We'll get right to you. Matt in the BK, my code? I think that's our code. Enjoy it before the Fed shut down all of the Instant Fantasy League sites. Huh. Why would they do that?
Maybe it's too close to gambling.
Interesting. Maybe just, yeah, right. What did you say? Oh, there's an article today in the Post, says Sam. Sam is monitoring us today. Doe Link, Matt, how's your dog? Hope all is well.
She had her surgery yesterday, and the vet said all went well, but she had to stay overnight, so we haven't seen her yet. And I will be picking her up later today. So hopefully everything's looking good, and hopefully it remains that way.
Dirty neoliberal. On the front page of the Wall
Thank
Street...
Thank you for asking, though.
Yes. On a dirty neoliberal, on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, Sanders' proposal cost $18 trillion over 10 years. In particular, single-payer health care would be $15 trillion over that period. Wouldn't single-payer be a lot cheaper than Obamacare? Obamacare is revenue-neutral. In fact, if it produces positive cash... In fact, it produces positive cash flows to the federal government. On a different note, the NY Times reports that people who have reported on the Bush family say that Jeb Bush is commonly described as an intellectual. But that misconception arises because George Bush is a moron. I really doubt the New York Times put it that way, but I take your meaning. You can tell Jeb Bush isn't that bright since he thinks he can achieve 4% growth and unironically used the term anchor baby along with supporting the Iraq war recently. Jeb Bush is no intellectual. It's ridiculous. Philly Hacker.
It is amazing how he is totally dumber than his brother. He, without a doubt,
I wouldn't know who I would bet in a dumb off, but not, I mean, they're basically people have just confused that he isn't as charismatic as his brother.
But
with
you know
being,
what?
With being
you know what?
Smarter than
if
his
you
brother.
Could, if you're charismatic like George W. and you're doing what in you're the president or whatever line of work they end up in, you know, that could really get you out of some situations that Jeb Bush is finding himself stuck
George
in.
George W. would have been a much more slick Denny's manager. Call back. Yes. Call back. liking the hairstyle, Michael. That's from Philly Hacker. Thank you. Me too. Decided to clean it up a little bit.
For real, though, like Jeb Bush would be like, oh, we burnt your toast. Oh, that's blame the Asians. But George W. would be like, hey, look at that toast. It's all burnt there. Don't worry about it. We get you a new one on the house.
Is this during his cocaine era?
Yeah.
All right.
When else
see.
Would he be a Denny's manager, Michael? Come
In
on.
In any other scenario where he wasn't born to a president of the United States is when he would be a Denny's manager. Ilmec. That is why I finally stopped watching Mar 2 years ago. He's smart enough to know it's everyone that's fleeing Syria. I'm not even going to talk about his, quote, moderate Muslim xenophobia. Why not identify what's happening in Turkey as a civil war by everyone? Sorry about the long I am. That's not a long I am. Believe me. Danny at IM, nice show, Eminem. Can anyone say truthfully that the GOP would ever elect a black man or a black woman? Yeah, they would. Yep. And I mean, look, in South Carolina, they elected a black man to the United States Senate. So I think we got to acknowledge that. They like native informant candidates. Let me take one other call since there's a lot waiting. I'll skip that other story and then we'll switch. You're calling from and we'll get to the other calls as soon as we make the switch. You're calling from a 601 area code. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, guys. It's Nate from Texas. How you doing?
Hey, Nate. How you doing, man? What's going on?
Good, good. I just wanted to weigh in on this Bill Maher nonsense. I mean, I think what he's saying basically is, you know, look, we can't tolerate these moderate Muslims because they're intolerant. They're going to drag us down to their level, so we just can't tolerate them. Right. We're too tolerant for that. And, you know, I think this really highlights the fact that these words like moderate Muslim, it's such an insult to say moderate Muslim. What you're really doing, you know, is you're just saying that sure, they're Muslim, but they're not that bad. But they're still kind of bad.
I mean, I think you're right in that that's how he's using it. I mean, look, I think that there is some – there's a lot of variables here. And I think there's no problem with saying – and I think in the United States, it's very different. The United States, there really is not – you know, as an example, a lot of the Muslim community in the United States is very affluent. It's very educated. It's a much – so – in Europe, there's definitely some situations where there's a very sharp divide between the Muslim community and the rest of, you know, the French community or whatever. And obviously a lot of that has to do with bigotry and xenophobia towards Muslims and towards immigrants. And then there's also some – there is the sort of interplay of like, look, if you're going to come and live in a liberal and more open system, then as an example, of course, you have to send, you know, your daughter to college, to school. You can't say like, you know, my religion sort of opts me out of the, some of the shared value systems of this place. So some of these dynamics are delicate and they're being figured out. But the problem that I have is I agree with you that the way he's using moderate Muslim is a problem. But it also just shows that, I mean, first and foremost, this is a humanitarian catastrophe. And when you start having such a simplistic and delusional view of a region and its people, then you can start painting in a broad brush, and it has an implication like we don't have to deal with a major humanitarian catastrophe because of these other, you know, notions. And even maybe some legitimate problems and challenges that arise in Europe and have to be dealt with. But also, I mean, look, the other thing is like Europe needs immigrants. They have, you're talking about negative growth rates in terms of population in places like Germany. So they actually need people coming from somewhere. So this is all stuff that's going to need to be figured out regardless. Yeah. But I appreciate the call. We got to make the switch. But it's always awesome to hear from you, Nate. And
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
Have a good day.
Be well, man. All right, everybody. We're going to make a switch, and we're going to get to the rest of your calls, and Matt's going to come at you. You got music? Or you need Mission Impossible?
I got it.
All right. We're going to come at you in 1 minute. Okay. We're going to come at you in 1 minute.
All right, we are back. Turn down that music, Michael. Perfect, perfect. Let me just move my chair up here. Jeez. Okay. Let's go right to the phones. I don't want anyone waiting on the phones today. We're going to go to all these calls right away. 773, what's your name? Where are you calling from? 773.
Hi,
hey, how are you?
I'm AJ in Chicago. How are you?
AJ? Michael, put his sound up. I can't hear him.
Sorry, I think I've got a problem with my phone.
Okay. So what's up? Let's see. We'll try to make this call work.
Maybe I'll try calling back. Sorry.
No, it's all right. I could hear you. It's okay. Oh, okay. He hung up. I guess he's going to call back. So let's get to some IMs really quick. Bull Prague, I was going to find you guys some MRAs to debate, but their subreddit is essentially defunct. Who will stand up for men now?
Really?
You probably went to the wrong one. I know men r/men's rights is like the big one. I don't know. Maybe it did go down. I haven't been there in a while. It's always fun to check out those subreddits. Have a good laugh every now and then. Data review. Hey, Eminem, just read an article this morning regarding fair use and takedown notices. Figured this was relevant to the Majority Report considering what happened with Fox and the last Republican debate. Yes, I heard about this story. Thank you for sending it. I'll read it. And it's short and it's really interesting. And I'm glad the judge ruled this way. It'll definitely have implications for anyone who does anything on the internet, whether you're just uploading one video of your kid or you do a show like this or whatever. Universal Music Group demanded that YouTube take down a 29-second home video of some children dancing along to a Prince song. And the 9th U.S. District Court of Appeals in San Francisco used the case to make it harder for copyright holders to act against fair use of their materials, saying the copyright holder must first consider whether or not such a video amounts to fair use of the work, which includes journalistic accounts and criticism. If the copyright holder fails to do so, they can be held liable for damages now. Looking forward to your debate coverage tomorrow. Thanks. Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, a 29-second clip, you said, a woman uploaded of her kids dancing to a Prince song. Literally, that's all it was. The Prince song was in the background.
Well, that's not cool.
And Universal.
You can't do that.
And Universal.
You can't just, like, use a Prince song to play with your children.
It's amazing.
That's a total assault.
Yeah, it's an interesting case, and I hope it does mean good things for the future. 10 XXX Genie XX, that's a lot. 10 Genie in a bottle, it looks like. 10 Genie in a bottle here. Well, thank you. I should have read that first, I guess. Want to bring up something only tangential. I can't even say this word anymore.
Tangentially.
Related to today's topic. Matt and Mike rock. Thank you. How's the dog doing? Good. Thank you. Seriously, hope the baby is getting all the nutritious mother's milk he can stomach. Despite your conviction that he likes Mountain Dew in his bottle, breastfeeding is the best thing you can do for him, and not just because it involves sucking on a boob. Not so seriously. When Ezra learns to read, maybe he can help Matt with those tricky multisyllabic with his multisyllabic words. And the funny thing is, I had problem reading tangentially in that same paragraph.
You set it up.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. 917, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, the art teacher. New York City.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I wanted to mention two things coming out of New York that have pretty, you know, national implications and the things that you've discussed before. Number one, New York Times yesterday announced that the New York Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, has hired Tim Wu, the father of net neutrality, to work in the Attorney General's office on matters relating to telecommunications and internet freedom and data and privacy. So we might see some action in New York.
That's great.
Basically, you know, the U.S. is getting gouged on our plans compared to other countries. And I know you guys have spoken about that. So we can look out for that. Also, it's interesting because, for the governor's race in 2018 here in New York, Eric Schneiderman is considered kind of a progressive, and now he's taken into his office Tim Wu, who ran as a leftward progressive with Zephyr Teachout in the last election. So it looks like they might be gearing up for more of a progressive push in New York.
Interesting. That's good to hear.
Yeah, people are critical.
The other big thing is in education. If you have any parents listening, any New Yorkers listening, tomorrow, there's a big vote for the New York Board of Regents where they're going to make permanent the test-based evaluations. They want to make New York's policy permanent tomorrow. There's a vote on it. And if they do, it'll be the harshest law in the nation that says that student test scores should inform the teacher evaluation. It would be as high as 50%, which is the greatest of the nation. So tomorrow there's a really big vote, and if your readers are concerned, you know, everybody's been writing the Board of Regents to say vote no, because, you know, we don't believe, you know, that test scores reflect the student learning and that there's no way they can show which teacher taught them, and it's very inaccurate and flawed. So We have those. We have that big book coming up just tomorrow. If anybody wants to email their New York Puerto Ricans, and you could probably do that from around the country too, because the New York case is in court now, and as a possible test case for the rest of the country, to say that these formulas that they use to take kids' test scores and turn them into the teacher rating, that they're really flawed in their inaccurate.
Oh, thanks for the heads up on all this. We definitely appreciate it. And we got to jump, but call back again. I always appreciate when you call in. You always give us some sort of new stuff that it's happening in the state that we just doesn't, at least my radar, doesn't fly on my radar sometimes. Thanks a lot.
Definitely. Okay, bye-bye.
773, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is AJ in Chicago. Long time I am a first time caller.
Nice to hear from you, AJ. What are you?
Welcome.
I'm so happy to hear about the dog.
Oh, thank you.
I just wanted to say that I think that if Donald Trump wants to drop out, I think he'll stake out a liberal position that will poison him with the Republican base, but win him back the favor of the sort of media class that he has traditionally had such a close relationship with. Then if the Republicans nominate someone else and that person loses in 2016, Trump can be like, oh, I see the losers. They nominated a loser. They should have stuck with the real deal. That's my theory.
That's interesting. He would commit political suicide on the Republican.
But the thing that people don't get, I don't think there's anything he can do that would be political suicide with his fans.
Yeah, that's
because
that's
it's all about backing an attitude. It's about an attitude. It's not
that's
about
true
because
he's already taken a lot of liberal positions on things.
I know that he's already deviated from right wing orthodoxy in a number of ways. But I think he can just keep pushing that envelope, maybe on abortion, or he'll pick something.
I think
he could do it if he wanted to.
I mean, maybe if he comes out and is like Barack Obama is my Allah, like maybe that way.
Barack Obama's a fantastic president. He'll make your head spin.
No, that might not even seriously. I don't think that would be enough. I think he'd have to come out and be like, Barack Obama is my Muslim God or something like that.
No, he hates, but also he never, because you got to realize there was a good piece in the New Yorker that came out over the weekend that was like a big part, like this guy's whole theory of why Trump has actually done this is because Barack Obama totally humiliated him at that correspondence dinner a couple years ago. And he said, like, there in the room, and he's like watching Trump just like stew in pure humiliation and kind of like already knowing what a sort of exceptional delusional narcissist he is. Like, that made it unacceptable. His hatred of Barack Obama, I'm sure, is actually one of them. Like, he's awesome.
He certainly
wins and he
grudges.
Hates.
Yeah, I mean, he's motivated by his desire to destroy Jeb Bush, which I think he's doing the whole country a great service.
He is. Oh, he certainly is, for sure.
Okay.
All right, but we got to jump. Thanks so much for the call.
Okay. All right, thank you.
That's an interesting point. We have a lot of calls. 512, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. One second. 512, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Trey from Houston, Texas.
Hi, Trey. What's up? What would you like to talk about today?
Hey, I'm about to be at work, so I got to just make this quick. I'm getting into a discussion with a guy online about the NFL.
Oh, always
and,
a mistake. Always a mistake. Getting into a conversation with someone online.
Say that again?
I'm sorry. Just go ahead. My bad.
Well, we're basically getting into a discussion about the NFL and how they exclude gay people, and he's asking me to send him some links on some evidence about that, and we went back and forth about it. But I'm about to be at work, so I can't really research it. But on my 15, I'm gonna get online and look and put some stuff, because I know there's stuff online about it. But I was just wondering if maybe y'all had anything to say about that.
I'm not quite sure the NFL discriminates against like gay athletes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, against gay. Right.
Yeah. I mean, just look at Michael Sam and how hard it was for him to find a team. But I'm sure there's even better examples
also,
out there.
Well, the evidence would also just be sometimes absence of evidence, right? Like how many openly gay football players do you know?
There you go, too.
I mean, look at the whole culture of that game. I mean, you know, just in terms of demographics, you know that there's plenty of people who've played football who've had to hide, felt they've needed to hide their sexual identity.
That's a great point. There's a reason for that.
Yep.
Thanks so much for the call. Call back in again when you have more time.
Okay, well, really quick. Part of his argument was that because he knew two gay NFL players, that doesn't mean that they exclude gay people, and that was his kind of, you know, that's kind of his answer to it. And then I brought up the point, well, I guess that means that you believe in, you know, racism anymore because we have a black president. I was kind of putting it in that kind of realm. You know, he was basically saying because there's two gay people in the NFL, that means that they don't exclude gay people. And my argument was, well, you can exclude some people, but, you know, and you know, have other people be a part of it because, number one, they're high profile. These are high profile people that were, you know, wanting to be part of the NFL. So it's really just part of bad business, number one, if they didn't want them to be a part of it. But just because of those people being, you know, involved in the NFL and ultimately getting some sort of affiliation with a team, that still doesn't mean that there's other people that are trying to get into the NFL or football for that matter. Just, I mean, you can even relate it to college football or even high school football, how, you know, if it comes down to performance, if you have two people that perform the same and one person is openly gay, you can almost guarantee, especially Houston, Texas, that they're not going to be on the football team. And that's the argument that I was making. And I said, there's other things that are a bigger deal about it. You know, it being a nonprofit organization and paying, you know, cheerleaders $3 an hour, those things are more. You know, why aren't we arguing about that? Why are we arguing about you being so technical about me saying that they exclude, you know, gay football players?
You make a great point. We have to jump, though. So, but you may definitely call back in when we have more time. But you make great points.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
Cool.
I'm going to take one more call. Nathan Ray, call. I know you like to call in with the updates on what's going on in the UK, which we love. But unfortunately, I don't think there's going to be enough time for that today. So call back in tomorrow. Okay, Nathan? Anonymous, that's what you're calling from. Call back. Nathan Ray, call back in. Anonymous, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
How's it, brother? I'm calling from Saigon, Vietnam. This is Brother Bronson and the Hoyan Anarchists. I was wondering if you want to discuss Bernie Sanders' anti-scientific views on GMO labeling.
Bernie, I'm sorry. We probably
don't have time to talk about that.
Yeah, we're kind of running up against the clock today. We have a short show, so call back.
Okay, yeah. I'm talking about Bernie Sanders' anti-scientific position on GMO labeling. You want to talk about that?
No.
You'd have to call back in. There's just not enough time today. So call back in another day.
Have a good one.
Okay, I have an hour's worth.
Okay, we don't. But try back.
All right, anytime. Let's go.
All right, cool. Take care. Sound like
we don't have time for a
GMO debate. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna get to these two stories. Then they're really short, and then finish these IMs. Michael, I'm kind of sad today. Jade Helm is coming to an end today.
And they didn't even pull off the goal.
And nothing happened. Yeah, I really thought
well,
there was going to be a takeover.
Today,
I thought,
man,
Obama was taking over those states. I thought all those gun-toting conservatives were going to have their guns ripped from their cold, dead hands. And the ones that gave them away willingly were going to be rounded up into Walmarts that were this whole time disguised as Walmarts, but were really detention camps. I'm really, really sad. But Jade Helm 15 comes to an end today. It's the end of that. What it really is was a military training exercise in an area that most resembled where we have a number of troops. The deserts of the United States most closely probably resembles the Middle East. That's why you would go to those states and hold military exercises. But let's not forget those who pushed this Jade Helm 15 conspiracy theory about the conservatives having their guns taken away and being rounded up into Walmart detention camps. And I think there was also a China element that was brought in later on where there was the Chinese also hanging out. They had Chinese troops here and Obama was teaming up with them. Some bizarre stuff. But let's take a moment and remember those who helped spread this. Put up the 360, Michael. Senator Rand Paul, who, when asked about it, said, you know, I've gotten a few questions on it on the road, and I really don't, I'm not sure what is going on with that. But he promised he would look into the claims. Then there's also Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who ordered the Texas State Guard to monitor the training exercise. The governor actually moved away from a more measured response, knocking down those concerns at a public meeting on it. And that's why he sent the National Guard. The State Guard, I'm sorry. Then we also have... Oh, Rick Perry. I feel like I'm beating up on a man when he's down.
You are.
But he said that normal Americans feared that the president would allow Islamic State militants to invade southwestern states. And that's sort of Obama's fault that they feel that way. It just shows how crazy things are happening right now. And then there's Senator Ted Cruz, also running for president. He said, I understand the reason for concern and uncertainty, because when the federal government has not demonstrated itself to be trustworthy in this administration, the natural consequence is that many citizens don't trust what it's saying. However, if I remember correctly, he also contacted the State Department or the Pentagon, I can't quite recall, and they said that they're just like training exercises, and he was like, oh, okay. So as long as Ted Cruz hears it for himself. And then let's not forget Louis Gohmert. Ah, Louis Gohmert. He said such labeling tends to... This was about Obama targeting conservatives in this Jade Helm 15. Such labeling tends to make people who have grown leery of federal government overreach become suspicious of whether their big brother government anticipates certain states may start another civil war or be overtaken by foreign radical Islamist elements, which have been reported to be just across our border. When my own commander-in-chief, through his subordinates, is just fine with, for games purposes, declaring an enemy of two or more of your own states. I got a real problem with that. That is one of the most insensitive, outrageous things that a military commander could do. Ah, Louis Gohmert. And as it comes to a close, let's not forget that these things, these silly, silly things, these Republican senators, congressmen, presidential candidates said, didn't have real consequences. Twice at a Mississippi base where troops were taking part of in these exercises, twice fire was opened on these military bases by people fearing this Jade Helm conspiracy. That's right. Two times God-fearing, gun-toting conservatives fired on American troops. And that's not it. Three men in North Carolina were arrested last month after authorities found that they were building an arsenal, including bombs, to fight back against this military takeover. There's still one more day, folks. Today is the last day. Who knows what can happen in these next 24 hours? Maybe the takeover will happen. Or maybe those five people, the three planning on making building an arsenal, and those two who opened fire in Mississippi. Maybe those five people, inspired by the words of Louis Gohmert, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Governor Abbott, maybe they stopped this hostile takeover.
It's going to happen. It's just not going to be Jade Helm. Bank on it.
Let's quickly get to this. So I know everyone's sick of hearing about this guy, but sometimes you just can't help it. So Sam Harris went on the Rubin Report on Aura TV to talk to host Dave Rubin just this past, what was it, yesterday? This past week, at least. And he defended his support for profiling Muslims at airports in an interview. Let's take a listen to some of this.
You want to racially profile Muslims.
Right. Yeah, that was a painful.
Yeah. Now, ironically, I read your piece on it. If that's the case, you actually want to. You're either Muslim or you want to racially profile yourself.
I'm right? Of the race that should be profiled.
Yeah. So, can you explain that a little bit more?
Well, so we've all had this experience of going through security and seeing people who, at a glance, you can rule out as non-jihadists. I mean, all I've argued for in the few things I've said about profiling is that we should be honest about what we're looking for. We're looking for suicidal jihadists. Now, there are other suicidal people who may bring down planes, but as a general matter, we are looking for people who are the functional equivalent of the 19 hijackers, right? So we're not looking for 80-year-old women from Okinawa. We're not looking for little girls from Norway. If Jerry Seinfeld is going through the airport, if he gets the same search that someone who looks like Osama bin Laden does,
right,
that's a crazy misuse of resources. Now, there are little wrinkles here that we can correct for. It's possible to put a bomb in someone else's bag, so all bags should be searched. I mean, yes, you can think this through, but there are people who you absolutely know at a glance are not terrorists, right? And any moment spent scrutinizing them in this security theater we've all witnessed at TSA is a moment not actually intelligently looking for a more plausible threat. So, I mean, my view is you have $10 worth of attention. If you spend a dollar over here, you've got $9 to spend elsewhere.
And Sam Harris would like you to spend those $9 on his book. But, you know, poor, painful, so hard. Oh, poor Sam Harris. It's so painful for him to write that blog post and to say that. Go ahead. What was that, Michael?
Well, I think he's talking about a post that accused him of supporting profiling.
Which he's saying he does. He's coming out. So it must be really hard and hurtful for him to hear these words, that he supports racial profiling when he does, in fact, support racial profiling. Oh, the poor baby. But let's just take what he's saying right here. You know, go take a look at those 19 9/11 hijackers. How were they dressed, Michael? Because I'll guarantee you they were dressed more like Jerry Seinfeld, quite literally, actually. Dressed more like Jerry Seinfeld than Osama bin Laden.
The other thing that he's talking about that he totally misses that's really big is, first of all, if you look at actually environments where there are a lot of suicide bombings, so we're already talking from a completely minuscule sample size, and obviously you need to have airport security, but this is far from a normal and regular occurrence. It's something obviously you need to screen for. But there's a couple of things. Look, he's talking about maybe doing something more like Israel does. But the truth is that we have constitutional protections and due process and things like this. So these things are built in. You can't just profile here. The other thing that's also important is that I was going to say is that in environments where there are a lot of suicide bombings, and this is actually a regular use in warfare, there are old ladies and children that detonate suicide bombings.
Yes.
And they're forced and they're cajoled and they're terrorized into doing it. Or maybe they're willfully doing it themselves. So even within the parameters of his premise, he's wrong.
Well, even in the parameters of, he even calls it security theater. Yet he's advocating for it. It's all just really, when it comes down to it, bullshit. I mean, the best way to stop these things is to base it on intelligence and search people who can actually be carrying bombs, not just random searches. You're looking for a needle in a haystack there. It's just all theater. And the fact that he thinks someone wearing a turban or having a long beard or wearing a burqa is any more the odds of them wearing having a bomb or taking over a plane is any more than the guy dressed like Jerry Seinfeld is just – it's ridiculous. I mean – let me tell you this. It's if you were wearing a turban or a burqa and you're carrying a bomb, the odds are you're going to fail. I mean, just because of that racial profiling.
He's wearing a nice, crisp shirt in this interview.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
Well, there you go. There you go. But no, seriously.
So for Sam Harris fans out there, the guy knows how to wear a nice, crisp, white shirt. I'll give you that for your boyfriend.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know.
No, but I'm saying even the point, and he's probably not even saying, he probably would say, like, yes, if you hit a certain age and demographic, you could be clean shaven, whatever, wearing jeans, sure. I think, but he's saying that you should still fall under that rubric. That's the way he says that he would get pulled off of a line. But the reality is that, first of all, someone with that name is not going to get pulled off of a line. We know that.
Yeah.
I remember one time even traveling with an ex-girlfriend whose family was Sikh. Her last name was Samra. She got pulled out of a line in every single international airport that we traveled through, okay, including in the United States, even in this era of, you know, non-specific profiling, obviously based off of her name. Certainly her age and educational background or whatever would not indicate that she would do something like this. So even within the parameters of what he's talking about, it's disingenuous to say he would be part of a profile.
Did she, in terms of
the practicalities of due process, and it's wrong in terms of who you have an eye on.
Did she try dressing like Jerry Seinfeld?
And thank God she didn't.
Well,
she's a very, very good dresser.
That's the problem
she
there.
Dressed more like Benazir Bhutto.
That's the problem there.
I'm just playing.
That's the problem there.
Would be bizarre.
All right, we can't get any more calls. Yep. Jimbo, love the M&M Tuesday. Listening on my old Motorola Droid a few weeks ago, my newer Samsung quit working after Droid update. Any word on an update for fantastic app? Keep up the great work. Send us an email. If the app has any problems on your phone, especially if it's an Android device, please let us know, because there's so many Android devices. We just don't know all the time when something stops working on one of the many Android devices out there. Send us an email, please. Genuinely curious, do you have any comment? Do you have a comment on the House Republican lawsuit development? They were found to have standing. We'll have to talk about
it. We'll talk about it more, but yeah, we have to kind of think
Marvin
about.
J, I tactically want Trump to appoint Jeanine Pirro as his running mate and only makes Robert Durst her single-ticket platform. Ice cream socialist. Carly Fiorina is desperately trying to get into the big kids debate. Well, she's in it.
Yeah.
She's now saying that Donald Trump insults are his way of flirting with her. No, she is in the debate now. CNN specifically changed the rules to get her in the debate. She will be on the main stage on Wednesday, tomorrow. Neff, Matt, how's Josefa doing? We hear that she's doing better. We'll find out. We'll see her today. Thank you, though. Oh, and then good news about Josefa. Here's a thought about Repub Race. Trump talks about Cruz a lot and did rally with him. What if it ends up the Trump Cruz ticket? Well, we had thought that Trump would hand the reins to Cruz, but we'll see. That could be a possibility. Russell 60, Matt, your dad has great taste in music. Long live the Kinks. He will be ecstatic to hear that. That's his favorite group of all time. He's obsessed. Wizza Fan Zero, if Bernie advocated for the nationalization of the oil industry and military weapons manufacturers, do you think he would still be getting popular support? Do you think the U.S. can ever go back to a point where Corbyn's position of industry nationalization isn't looked at cross-eyed?
I don't think we were ever there.
Yeah. Majority Reporter Zach, if any Chris Hayes producers are listening, enough with the Trump coverage. Drag the Trump coverage to the park.
Drag to the park.
Carson's favorite book. What are your thoughts on Carson almost tying with Trump? It really says a lot about the Republican base. I mean,
that's all you need to know.
Yep. Jonesing for it. The person who wrote that 18 trillion article was the infamous Obama sock puppet reporter. Dirty neoliberal. During the GOP debate, can you guys keep a tally on the number of times the candidates evoke the Lord Reagan Almighty? That sounds like a plan.
Possibly.
Good cop. It will be awful if Matt spilled his energy drink during a GOP debate. It might inadvertently send the show into a parallel universe. I think you are safe this debate, but you don't know when that will strike.
Could see a lot of points being made here.
In the sticks, Trump is like a comedian. He goes up and does the same shtick every speech. There's no substance. People like details. He offers none. Sooner or later.
No, not everybody likes details.
Sooner or later, the people will understand he's a carnival barker at best. No, those who.
Not those who support him. They don't care about that.
Yeah, those who understand that already do understand that. Doobie, regarding the Wall Street Journal piece on Bernie, yes, single payer would cost $15 trillion over 10 years, but we already spend twice that much. Single payer would save a ton of money. No more IMs, please. We're running out of time here. Colonize Mars. Trump Cruz sounds like a new business Trump put his name on. That's very funny. Robin PDX with Sam Harris and Bill Maher. Why don't you add MRAs and Gamergate while you're at it? Seriously, though, Harris said polo shirts are the sign someone is not a terrorist. Check out his debate with Bruce Schneier. And I tell him to go look at those hijackers and see what they're wearing. Because they weren't wearing turbans and beards. Lone Star Liberal. Hey, guys. Had the opportunity to attend the Donald Trump rally in Dallas last night. Donald was in full, incoherent form last night, and he didn't disappoint. But the scene outside the arena was pure chaos. My brain is still processing the insanity of it all. I'll probably email or call in the show soon with more details if you're interested. Yeah, call in tomorrow. Also, plug the show to a couple of conservative libertarian attendees, so hopefully they call into debate. I hope so too, but I doubt it. Bronson Kyo. LOL, old Louis, a poor victim of the big government that he fully supports. Sam Harris is brilliant like Donald Trump. Deadpan for Poe's Law's sake. Fucking spot on right now. All theater. Reagan against the machine. If you really support Bernie, head to your local Democratic committee and occupy the party. Bernie can have all the voter support and still lose because of the electoral rigging of party rules in the states. In my county committee, the fix is in for Hillary, and they are ignoring polls and populist sentiment. Don't send any more IMs. I'm not reading any more new ones. This is all just the old ones. Tam Folger, Matt, please tell us the schedule for listening to your riff on tomorrow's debate. I believe we're going to be doing a regular show. And then I guess, when's debate start? 8 p.m.? So I guess like 7:50, 7:55, we'll start the full... Just like last time, we'll be going for the entire debate, commentary over it, Mystery Science Theater-esque style. You'll be able to watch it and watch us at the same time through our feed. Yep, and that's the details. Sam will tell you more if there's any more tomorrow. Sam's back tomorrow too, by the way. The missing link. Bernie Sanders was on MSNBC about an hour ago explaining to Andrea Mitchell why his poll surge is sustainable and also why today's Wall Street Journal story about his single-payer plan costing $15 trillion would actually be a savings in spite of their misleading headline. He pointed out that the journal failed to mention the current cost of health care is over $30 trillion, so his plan would save trillions. Yep. Crystal Count. Hey, Eminem, Mars, Ego, and Wit make it a thrill to watch him shut down and expose bullshit in ways rarely seen on TV when he's talking issues he's actually well-informed on, like climate change. Unfortunately, he treats topics he obviously doesn't know well the same, like Islam, where he seems to puff up with an authority not from the actual grasp on it, but from the belief in his brand as the lone guy who calls bullshit against political correctness of all stripes, believes his own press clippings. Great leap forward. In Oklahoma, an actual murderer sits in a medium security prison after testifying against someone who didn't actually kill anyone but apparently made him do it and should therefore be the one who is executed. Is anyone else banging their head against the wall? Sounds ridiculous. We'll have to look into that. Mr. Seaman, I'm not going to read the rest. You're not going to get me. Hearing about all the ways people are still discriminated in the present makes me think the utopian future promised by Star Trek will never happen. Shanksteel just tuned in. Did you cover the bill just passed by Congress about police killings? We did not. We'll have to get to it. Rose Dower. Hey, Sam. Sam's not here, but we'll take it anyway. Did you see yesterday's Sarah Silverman interview where she indirectly calls out Seinfeld? She basically says the older comedians who complain about PC culture are simply doing so because they won't adapt to the change in culture. I'll have to look into that. Good for Sarah Silverman. She's absolutely right. Denny's manager, do you hear from Jim from PA anymore? We did not for a long time, and then he randomly called in like months and months and months ago, just once, and then we haven't heard from him since. A Square, MB Square, sorry about your dog, Matt. Glad to hear your son likes La Poupée. Mike, that was a good observation from Nate, how the phrase moderate Muslim is used. This refugee situation in Europe is just sad and embarrassing. Sure, the clowns in debate tomorrow will pound on this. And the fears of letting Syrians in the country. Time for Juan Cole? Yeah, we always good time to talk to Juan Cole. Little Gray. Eminem, I don't see any semantic difference between the use of phrase like moderate Muslims, ostensibly in order to distinguish them from some supposed other kind, and one of the good ones being applied to African Americans who don't offend white people by acting too black. Absolutely. AJS93, hey Eminem, do you think GOP voters would love to vote for black candidate like a Carson because he provides a cover for their institutionally racist policies? Yep. Their reasoning is, of course, I'm not racist. I love black people. I voted for one. But police should be able to act with impunity in cities nationwide, and illegals should just get the fuck out. Absolutely. Oh, God, no, Christ, no more Sam Harris, please, no. Sam Harris, the legal expert, thinks innocent until proven guilty doesn't apply to people with beards. So I don't understand. Sam Harris is against everyone taking their shoes off at airports, but that anyone with a beard basically should be strip searched? Pretty much, yes. Any thoughts about this Clinton super PAC attacking Bernie? Have not seen it. We'll have to check it out and get back to you. Somebody else. So Eminem, what's the verdict? When you went back and reviewed yesterday's show, did the solid caller from California say he was going to hang up and get stoned or what? To me, it absolutely sounded like that.
I did not hear stoned.
Jay-Z, the abbreviation for MRAs is an anagram of MRSA. Is this further proof that of the great feminazi conspiracy against men? Just asking the question.
Of course.
Toss my salad. Did y'all watch David Rubin's interview with Sam Harris? Just heard from some of it. Low-key 4191, speaking of Schneiderman, wasn't he part of some DOJ thing investigating mortgage fraud the banks were committing? It was supposed to be super serious and everything. Whatever happened to that?
Didn't go anywhere.
Liberal in Atlanta, if Trump hugs Obama, he's done. I don't know. Jade Helm was a complete success. Texas is now part of the United States. That's great. I like that. I enjoyed that one. And the final item of the day. Sugar High 777. One bewildering thing about our political moment. The victory of Jeremy Corbyn is reported by U.S. liberals as a dangerous regressive development. Who's reported it like that?
I don't know. I'm sure some people.
Yeah, I'm sure too, but yeah. Meanwhile, Trump is covered as merely a headache for GOP elites. Ugh, at Sam Harris, we've seen a lot of white European terrorists sign up to join ISIS. The day of an attack is not a normal day where terrorists are looking to stand out to profile as Arab. Furthermore, profiling is always going to happen. TSA agents are people with prejudices. It's a big step to go from informal profiling to legally mandated profiling. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this abbreviated Matt and Michael Tuesday. Sam is back tomorrow for a regular 12 noon show, and then at 8 p.m. or slightly before 8 p.m. I should say, we will be providing our live full coverage of the GOP debates. Have a good day. See you tomorrow.
Bye, everybody. It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot light shining bright. I get somewhere the choice is made. The option where you don't get